I'm Jasper Pattenden at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show. Coming up in the next hour, we'll review what happened over the Easter weekend. Got our match briefing from Phil. So much to unpack, as they say on certain TV programmes. We'll talk about what happened at Adams Park on Easter Monday and, of course, Good Friday. Lots to look forward to, as well as the penultimate game of the regular season, shall we say. It's just around the corner. Saturday lunchtime's trip to Leighton Orient. Got a home game with Stockport to come too. Hopefully, fingers crossed, automatic promotion still on the cards, but there might be playoffs to cover on this show as well. So we don't even know how long this season's going to be yet. Lots to talk to you about, though, as I say, coming up. We'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds talking at his disappointment and the autopsy that was due after Bank Holiday Monday's exploits at Adams Park. A bumper crowd, though. If you were there, then obviously, I was going to say, I hope you enjoyed it, but enjoyment is probably not quite the right word. Coming up later on in the hour as well, thanks to Wickham Wanderers Ex-Player Association, we'll speak to a former physio and head of sports science at the club as well, David Jones, who, along with many managers, 13 as it turns out, has guided the club to many exciting points at this time of the season. We'll get his thoughts on the current situation and also some of the reflections of his time as well. Wickham Wanderers women played their final league game of the season on Sunday. They got a pretty decent draw and finished second in their division. We'll hear from their manager Carl Simon, and we'll hear from Mike Dodds again before the hour's out to look ahead to what's coming up on Saturday and what we can expect from the team after they've been working towards what is a very exciting culmination to the season, I'm sure you'll agree. But first, let's get the thoughts of Phil. And as we touched on a little earlier on, so much to cover in what happened over the Easter bank holiday weekend.
So much to unpack. Yeah, it was, well, a mixed weekend, wasn't it, in terms of results. We'll start with Good Friday, which was a very good day for everybody concerned with the club. 2-0 win at Bolton Wanderers, who were desperately in need of the points as well to keep themselves as serious contenders for the top six. So, yeah, really, really good away day performance. You know, very, you know, solid, tight first half. And then in the second half, clinical, which was, you know, what you need to do when you're away from home. Away fans are fantastic as well. So, yeah, it was the perfect start to the Easter weekend. And with Wrexham drawing, it put Wickham back into the top two with three to play. So everyone was buzzing off that and looking forward to Monday, which was a huge game and a big game for Charlton as well, because the draw from Wrexham meant that they could all of a sudden start really seriously thinking about second place as well, knowing that they had to play us and then Wrexham this coming Saturday. So look, it's going to go to the wire, but I think we've been saying that all the way through. But I thought Charlton were one of the best teams I've seen this season on Monday at Adams Park. The 4-0, I don't think it really flattered them, really. Their intensity was excellent from the first kick to the last. And, you know, it doesn't really surprise me, because, you know, Nathan Jones is probably one of the most intense managers in the Football League. And they play in his image. And they were excellent on the day. And they've been in fantastic form. They had a really bad start to the season, and there was question marks over the manager and all sorts. But since the turn of the year, they've been phenomenal. I think they've lost three league games since the start of January. So they are very much the form horse. But we're now all Charlton fans, because we want them to beat Wrexham on Saturday, knowing that if we can beat Leighton Orient on this Saturday, then we're back into the top two with one to play, which would be incredibly exciting going into the final game of the season. We shall see. But yeah, goal difference took a bit of a tonking as well with a 4-0. But we're still, I think, one up on Wrexham in that respect. So look, it's so tight. It's really tight. It's super exciting. And, you know, I'm sure there's more than one or two twists or turns left in these final fixtures for everyone concerned. But, you know, speaking to Mike after the game on Monday, obviously emotions running high around the place. It was a packed crowd. And it was good to speak to Mike and get his reflections on that game.
My reflections. First of all, it was apologies to the fans. I wouldn't normally come out and say that first, but I think you can't go from what we did on Friday, to giving away four really soft goals. It just can't happen. I didn't see that coming. I don't think anyone's seen that coming. And I just said to the group there, the bit that I need a kind of autopsy around, and the bit that I need to spend some time is how do we go from being the best defensive record in the whole of the EFL since I've been at this football club and look like so solid and hard to play against to gifting what are just four really soft goals. And I'm a little bit embarrassed around the fact that I can stand here and say there wasn't a huge amount in the game, but we've lost 4-0. There wasn't, you know, I didn't feel on the ropes at any point. That being said, the first goal, we defend the first phase, it comes back in second phase, and our kind of defending the box strategies, if that's the right phrase to use, is really, really poor. And he just kind of walks in and puts the ball in the back of the net. It's a really poor goal from our perspective. The second one, again, it's, you know, we deal with the first phase and they land on the second phase. It's a foul, but, you know, I'm not going to make excuses. And it's a great finish, but still, if we want to be tough on ourselves, we've got to deal with that second goal. And the third and fourth goals are, you know, I can't defend them. And the bit that I'm really struggling with, and, you know, I went over to the shed end and made sure I apologised, is I can't fathom how we've gone from looking so solid and making so many good decisions to gifting someone four goals. It's obviously going to look even worse because obviously it's a team that's in and around us, but I think if we would have made those mistakes against any team, the result would have been the same. So really disappointing day. And I can lose games of football, you know, that's something that I can accept, but what I can't accept, and that's why I apologise to the fans, I can't accept the manner of the goals. I can't accept that, and that's something we'll address internally.
And how do we respond now before yet another big game on Saturday at Leyton Orient?
We will respond. We will. Like, there's zero question there, because I won't accept it and the group won't accept that. And, you know, I'm positive that we'll get two really positive results towards the end of the season. The unfortunate thing, it's not in our hands anymore, but I did say on Friday there'll be plenty of twists and turns. I still maintain there'll be plenty of twists and turns over the next two games.
Could it just be put down as a bad day at the office? You've referenced the fact that the excellent form coming into this. Could it be put down as a one-off?
That's the only thing I can put it down to at the moment, because I just can't. The drop off is so cataclysmic. I can't fathom it. You know, I can't fathom how we've gone from conceding one goal at home since I've been here, and that was a deflected off Josh Goen's shoulder for the Wrexham goal. It was actually going wide, to then, you know, after 60-70 minutes being 4-0 down. I can't fathom it. And you know, I've got to take responsibility for that, because I'll always protect the group and I'll always protect the decisions in terms of what we try and do. The one thing I will guarantee, it won't happen again, because we know we'll do a full kind of review on why that was. The difficulty is, obviously, you can't defend the goals, and unfortunately we're going to have some difficult conversations when the guys get back into the training ground.
Yeah, you can tell something that comes across from that chat as well, is that just the kind of, he wasn't expecting it, and I guess the sort of the autopsy, as he called it, that was really needed this week.
Yeah, and you know, when you sit down and take a view at it from a couple of days later, when everything's sort of calmed down a bit, you know, Charlton had been beaten, you know, 3-0 away at Peterborough. I think they had a 4-0 at Rotherham. You know, we beat Stockport 5-0 earlier in the season. Stockport, I think, then beat Bolton 5. You know, These results happen to teams across the season. It's just so happened it's happened to Wickham, probably at the worst possible time, you know, with three to play. But look, I think when we went up in League Two under Gaz, I think we lost the same fixture 4-0 at home to Accrington, and went up that the following week. So look, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all. Obviously, it would have been nice to have stuck four past Charlton. I don't think anyone can deny that. But look, it's still all there to play for. We need a result to go our way now. But we also need to do our job, which is the really important thing. And looking ahead to Leyton Orient, Colin, is, you know, that's another massive, massive game. And Orient have done exceptionally well after, again, another slow start, but have got themselves up there. They've had some really big runs this season, and got themselves into the top six. And it's between them and Reading, I think. And obviously Reading have got stuff going on as well. But look, it's going to be a massive game on Saturday. It'll be sold out. It is sold out already. Orient will be desperate for the win to cement their place in sixth place. And Wickham will be desperate for the win to try and avoid the playoffs. So someone's got to give. You know, our away form of late has been excellent as well. So hopefully we can go there and do a job. But it's going to be a really tough game in terms of quieting down the home atmosphere. Orient have been good at home this year as well. And we'll have to see what happens.
Do you expect to see many personnel changes?
I don't know. I mean, that's the you know, the beauty of it is our squad is deep, and you know, the quality runs through it. So tough choices for Mike Dodds. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how we set up on the Saturday. I think, you know, a win is what's required, and Leighton Orient will be doing the same. So it could be an open game. So hopefully we can see plenty of goals coming from the Wickham players.
And obviously key for any game, but really interesting to see who starts and who's on the bench and who's brought on later as well.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, the squad is deep, the choices are there. And yeah, we shall see what happens in terms of, you know, personnel and everything else. But, you know, pretty much a clean bill of health, I think. I think bar Dan Harvey, and I think Magnus is on his way back as well as Anders Hagelshine, the squad last weekend too. Kieran Sadlier made it back onto the pitch at Bolton. Great to see him. So look, you know, it's you know, a huge amount of choice for Mike Dodds. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see the lineup at 11:30 on Saturday, early kickoff.
No, absolutely. And I guess these are the games that the players really relish as well. We're sort of running out of them, but this time of the season must be something that they really especially, you know, look to kind of get something out of.
Yeah, look, if you wind the clock back a few weeks, and I think it was a Mike Dodds quote that said that pressure is a privilege. And certainly at this stage of the season, at the right end of the table, these are massive, massive games. These are the ones you want to be involved in as a player and as a fan and whoever else connected to the club. You've only got to look down the bottom and look at Burton Albion and Bristol Rovers and Crawley and Mansfield getting sucked in as well. You know, those guys have got a different kind of pressure. And we know what that feels like as well. We've been there and done it. So, look, you know, it's about enjoying these. And I think Joe Lowe said this the other week as well. It's about who enjoys it the most, you know, and relaxes and plays their game and gives a good account of themselves and leaves it all on the pitch and don't play the occasion, play the game. So, look, Wickham have been phenomenal this season. The points total is a record at this stage, at this level. So, look, you know, they're in guaranteed playoffs, and there's an even bigger prize within touching distance. So it's been a fabulous season, and it's about holding the nerve now for two more games.
I was going to say, it's such a compliment to the players, isn't it, that they've maintained this level and they've been up at the top throughout the whole season, and they're in this promotion battle still.
Yeah, and it's been a huge amount of change off the pitch as well from day one of this season. You know, from new training ground, new facilities, new players, change in management, etc. So look, there's been a huge amount going on. You know, and the amount of work that's gone behind the scenes on the academy and the great strides that those guys have made in getting Wickham established again in recruitment in youth football. You know, there's been huge amounts going on at the club, and for the first team to step up and deliver the season they have done has been excellent. And like you say, it's because we're involved in this sort of tussle for the top two, it's going to go to the wire. But I'm sure when the dust settles, whatever happens in these next two games, people will look back at this season and appreciate what a phenomenal effort it's been. But, you know, like I say, two more big efforts to go before we can really see what this season is all about.
And something obviously for the fans to get excited about. You mentioned there's a big crowd obviously at Adams Park on Monday and a big crowd at Leighton Orient on Saturday. And I'm sure, you know, a big crowd for the Stockport game as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's the crowds will come out and get stuck into these big occasions as well and play their part. You know, the Charlton fans were magnificent on Saturday at the away end. And quite rightly so, they've been on a great run and you could see the momentum that they had. You know, and Wickham fans play their part too. At Bolton on Friday, they were superb. And, you know, it's great to see the place full on Monday. And the away end will be packed on Saturday as well for the early kickoff. So, look, you know, fans can certainly play their part, definitely. And it was really encouraging, actually, even at 4-0. I think because people realise the importance of the goal difference and the magnitude of every twist and turn now and the minute detail at this stage. Fans stuck with the team on Monday as well, which was great to see.
And it feels like, in a way, there's something quite nice about playing early on Saturday, isn't there? And really kind of setting down a marker for Wrexham, who play later.
Yeah, I think we can really put the pressure on. Look, that Wrexham-Charlton game is huge. Wrexham, you know, great win for them on Monday away at Blackpool. I think a lot of people had looked at that fixture and said that's not an easy place to go. Blackpool have been phenomenal at home this season, tough place to go and get points. And Wrexham did it under pressure. And you know, you have to respect that. And Charlton now, Well, see, look, you know, they've got nothing to lose. You know, they, I think if they'd been offered the playoffs, you know, around January, February time, they'd have snapped your hand off. They've established that with three games to go, and they can look at these final running games now and really attack them. And that's what they did on Monday. And I'm sure that's what they're going to do on Saturday in the late kickoff for the 5:30 game. But yeah, Wickham can get the points on the board early on, hopefully. If Wickham can win on Saturday, they can lift themselves into second before that game kicks off. And then all of a sudden, you know, it puts the pressure on again, doesn't it? And it can really impact that game. But Wickham can't worry about that. They just need to worry really about getting their job done and then let the fans worry about that after the game. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people watching that one very keenly at 5:30.
And obviously great for supporters to not to, you know, lose sight of the fact that automatic promotion is still very much alive.
That's the thing. You know, it only takes a slip now from Wrexham. And Wickham, look, I think they've got to win the last two. You know, I think if we can do that, then we give ourselves a fantastic chance. And look, if Wrexham can win their last two as well, then they deserve to go up. The table doesn't lie after all these games. So, look, you know, for Wickham to be in the shout that they're in, you know, and I know we've said this countless times as well this season, to be involved at this stage and where we are and the points total, etc., we'd have all taken that back in August. So we shall have to see what happens. But yeah, it's super exciting. And yeah, and you can hear it all on Wickham Sound, which will be a great climax to the season, hopefully.
No, absolutely. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Colin. Cheers.
Pleasure to chat to Phil. As always, he'll be bringing you full match commentary on Saturday. Kickoff at 12:30. You'll be able to hear the whole match live here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV as well, where you can catch that full chat with head coach Mike Dodds as well. Let's briefly return to the notice board, which was an extensive part of last week's show, a little more shorter this week, a shorter notice board. You might have caught before kickoff on Monday against Charlton, Franco Ravazzoli, Cameron Humphreys and Richard Coney were the winners of the official Wickham Wanderers Supporters Association annual awards. They collected their trophies before kickoff. Ravazzoli collected the highest number of away travel man of the match awards over the course of the season, voted for by passengers on the coach after each game, and received a trophy for his efforts with Humphreys, who was voted the Young Player of the Year, and Kone was the choice for Player of the Year. Watch out for some other end-of-season awards as well, which we'll bring you news of here on the Wickham Wanderer Show on Wickham Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
The Chair boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wickham Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line.
Take your time, Rich. Take your time.
Richard Kone, here he comes. Score!
Richard! It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wickham Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
There are many ways to get in contact with Wickham Sound. You can call or WhatsApp us on 01494 449900. We're on X at Wickham Sound. For Facebook, it's facebook.com/Wickham Sound or email studio@wickhamsound.org.uk. However you choose to get hold of us, we can't wait to hear from you.
I'd like to know, are you really ready for some super dynamite soul?
Well, are you? Every Tuesday and Saturday, we dig into the Funk and Soul archive to find the finest disco, soul, funk and jazz funk tunes and select some new independent releases to bring you 2 hours of sunshine-infused music that you probably didn't know you loved. So let in the sunshine, Tuesday nights from 10, remixed for Saturdays at 6.
The Funk and Soul archive on Wickham Sound. The Wickham Wanderers Show, Thursdays from 7.
106.6 FM.
We come part two of this week's Wickham Wanderer show. Still to come, we'll catch up with Wickham Wanderers women's head coach Carl Simon, who reflects on the season for them. Their league campaign concluded on Sunday. We'll hear from men's head coach Mike Dodds as well, looking forward to the penultimate game of the regular season, Saturday lunchtime's trip to Leighton Orient. But first, with thanks to Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, it's been fantastic to speak to former players as well, but also brilliant to catch up with those who've worked behind the scenes at the club, and someone who was at Adams Park and, of course, previously Lokes Park for over 20 years. At 22, he was physio and also head of sports science, David Jones, who oversaw many a campaign, including, of course, that famously, I guess, disappointing climax in 1992.
I mean, it's quite incredible when you reflect on those periods of your life. And the games just came so thick and fast. And really, at the end of the day, it was just really very much about recovery between games and basically keeping the players fresh and keeping them motivated and focused on the task. And that was Martin's time, and he was outstanding at that. And he would do what everybody thought you shouldn't do. So he would give them a day off, a couple of days off, when everybody thought we should be training, and sometimes pull them in to train when everybody thought they should be having a day off. And so it was a bit of management, lots of management skills. But he was very much into making sure that the players were fresh and not fatigued at that point in time. But if my memory serves me right, I think we had a really hectic period, didn't we, where we were basically playing almost 2 to 3 games a week for that last month. And it was just about turning players around and getting them back on the pitch. And that was it, really, to be honest.
So did you find, especially at this time of year, that the players were, you know, kind of tired after a long season, or, you know, did they have plenty and they just wanted to play, especially at this time?
I think there's tiredness and tiredness. There's physical tiredness, but there's also mental tiredness and fatigue. And if you're repetitively doing the same thing all the time, it can be very boring, for want of a better word. And as I said, you know, it's suddenly doing something different in training or not training, and just being away from work for 3 or 4 days and then come back into work, and everybody was refreshed and they'd spent time at home, and effectively they were just happy. And if they were happy, they tended to play well. And I think also, you know, one of the things that I remember very, very clearly was that in that period of time, we never thought we were going to lose. We had a mindset that whenever we went on the pitch, we were never going to lose a football match. And it was incredible. And, you know, I can remember going over to Dagenham Way, and Colchester came down to watch the game. And we won. We won 5-0, Dagenham and Redbridge. And it's those sorts of things that really I found really incredible, how we did it. Because at the end of the day, winning football matches or winning a golf match or whatever it is easy if you don't have to win it. But the pressure and the real side to being a good team is when you can win a game, when you have to win it. And I think that really is the great strength of that team. There was such a bond and a camaraderie amongst the players. And it didn't matter who went out to play, everybody knew how to win a football match.
And obviously it makes such a difference if you're fighting for something, whether it's promotion or to avoid relegation as well, at this time, I guess, rather than sort of being mid-table and not having too much to play for.
Yes. And I think, you know, the playoff situation is great, because what it does is it keeps teams having to play because they've still got something to play for, and it incentivizes people. So I think that sort of keeps it all going. You also have to be careful with the psychology, because in the times when we had difficult times and we were sitting towards the bottom of the table, You know, you could win a match and you come off the pitch feeling absolutely euphoric and then suddenly find out that the team that you were hoping to have gone ahead of had also won and you suddenly felt deflated. And it was important to try and keep the players motivated during that period.
And did you find that experienced players kind of dealt with that better, or was it a case that perhaps the younger players had kind of more confidence or energy or less fear, perhaps?
I think some of the younger players had tremendous fear. And it was older players who had experience of winning and coping with those sorts of things that had to really step up and pull the players along. And it was incredible. I can always remember Michael Forsyth coming in when we were sitting right at the bottom of the table during Laurie Sanchez's time. And he'd hardly played any football. He had a horrible knee injury. And, you know, suddenly Michael Forsyth just stepped up as a big man and played in those games when we had to go to Manchester City, if I remember rightly, and places like that. And we won football matches and did really, really well. And that was experience and knowledge of how to do it and not necessarily running around in a crazy fashion, but actually just knowing how to win.
And a big part of what you did, I imagine, of course, but having spoken to you previously as well, was having to kind of balance that expectation, I guess, from various managers, but also from the players as well, as to, you know, whether a player's ready to play. And I guess especially, again, at this time of the season, everyone wants to be able to be fit in time for the kind of the run-in part.
Yes, I mean, it's everybody wants to play. Every player wants to play. And what happens at this stage of the season is that, you know, you have to... what's the options and risks and benefits. And if you're in a difficult situation, you have to take risks. And if you're in a fortunate position where there's lots of players who can play in that position and they're all playing well, then the benefits are outweighed by the risks. And so you're continually sitting, talking to managers, trying to work out what you do and how you do it so that you can make the very best of that situation.
And was that one of the kind of most enjoyable parts of your role, just kind of the closeness of what you did to have, you know, with the managers and to have that kind of impact as well?
Yes. I mean, you just have to have open and a very frank conversations and just sit down with people and just talk it through. At the end of the day, the manager has to make his mind up. And sometimes, you know, you might suggest that somebody isn't quite ready and the manager says, look, I just need to play them. We've got to win. And that's what would happen.
Well, fantastic as well that you got to, at one club, you know, work with so many different managers and so many different characters as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was very fortunate. I spent a long time at the football club and I met some really, really lovely people. And I felt I always had a good relationship with many of the managers that I worked with. And as I said, everybody has a different way of doing things. And as I understand in the background, you know, talking to other colleagues, if players at Arsenal weren't fit under Arsene Wenger and didn't train on a Monday, then they weren't able to play the following Saturday because he didn't think they would be fit enough. So he had his own way of doing things. And that was his philosophy, that if the team that is going to play on Saturday, the players have to be able to train on the Monday. And that was how he worked. He obviously had a huge squad and lots and lots of resources. So that's how his system worked. But as you come down the leagues, the clubs are really struggling. And some of the footballers at the lower levels, basically in those days, had to play. And continue to play, and that was, you know, the way the game worked, to be honest.
It must have been so reassuring for different managers to come in though and come to a club where, you know, someone like yourself has been there for such a long time and worked with so many, you know, players and so many different circumstances, and for them to kind of know that, you know, you'll be working with the players to maintain their fitness and make sure they're ready for games.
Well, I think at the end of the day, when you work at a football club, you'd like to think that you're doing a wonderful job. And obviously managers come in from different clubs and different environments, and they have different opinions and what they're looking for and what they want from the staff around them. All I can say is that I'm certain that most of the managers would have come into Wycombe Wanderers and they would have had a look around, and then they make their mind up that what they've got is good and it works. And some other managers might just not like the colour of the T-shirt you're wearing and would like you to leave. But fortunately, the football club was very lucky at the football club, and I stayed for that whole period of time.
Did you find you had to be quite adaptable, though? Because, like I say, managers might have different demands or ways of working, as you say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you think about a football club, there's a skeleton staff that sort of works as the spine of the football club. So you've got your kit man, you've got your physio, you've got your strength and conditioning people, and they tend to sort of be the backbone. And the managers and the assistant managers come in and out. But what happens is that backbone always has to pick up the pieces and then adapt to how the manager wants to work. So clearly, if there's lots of changes going on, there's lots and lots of quickly trying to adapt and work out how people want to work and trying to support them in what they want to do.
A really interesting view, I imagine, as well, just to how your role changes throughout the years. And, you know, I guess initially fans might just see, you know, that there's someone who, you know, sits on the bench with the manager and runs on when a player's injured, you know, all the way through to becoming a more sort of sports science role in later years as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of interesting when we talk about the sports science role, because if you go back to Martin O'Neill's day, you know, Martin had a great philosophy of doing what he felt needed to be done. You know, people were at the time were talking about very slow, steady state running. Martin said, well, you know, when he'd done that type of running, he felt sluggish and he couldn't keep up with the game. And he would just do these fast runs and then a long break and fast runs and a long break. And if you now go to the science, that's exactly what the science is saying that you should be doing. At the time, we didn't have the science, but Martin felt that if he did that type of training and it was short, sharp, very intense, then he always felt that was the right training to do. And as I said, you know, the sports scientists now have just taken the same thing and just adapted it very, very cleverly to do lots of variations of a theme. But then, you know, you've got all the rest component behind it. And I think sometimes, and we sort of talk about ACL injuries and other nasty injuries that players get. And I'm certain that there has to be a fatigue component, because, you know, you've got all the scientists wanting to do this with the players and that to do with the players, and the managers want to do the coaching with the players, and they've got match after match after match. And at the Premier League level, at that top end, you know, they train in the morning on a Friday, they fly to up north somewhere and play a match, and then they fly back, and the following day they're flying out to Madrid for a Champions League match, and they fly back from that, and they might be at the training ground for a day or two before they fly back up to Newcastle to play there, and then fly back that night after the game, and then they're flying back out to France for another Champions League match. And it's really very demanding. I think that it all looks very nice because everybody sees 90 minutes of football, but it's how did that team get from A to B, and how do they get those players turned round, ready to start playing the next match?
And also, I imagine, literally, I guess the highlight probably of your time at the club was I've been fortunate enough to speak to some of those players since, you know, we spoke to you last as well, but brilliant that, you know, they credit you with sort of extending their careers or indeed perhaps even saving their careers in some respects, and just getting them onto the pitch and being able to play when previously it might look like they couldn't.
Well, I was very lucky. When I started working at Wycombe, the game was changing because, even if you think about Lokes Park, the medical room at Lokes Park was about slightly wider than a couch and slightly longer than a couch. And that was what you had. And I was very lucky because the FA had realised that lots of their top players were not recovering as well as they could do following injuries. And they did a headhunt, and they headhunted a gentleman called Professor Graham Smith, as he's known now. He's a retired physiotherapist. And Graham got the job at Lillishall, setting up the rehab centre for all the footballers, and the PFA was funding it so that those players that had long-term injuries could go to Lillishall and work in a group environment. And I got to know Graham, and he's now become a very, very close friend of mine over the years. And he's had a huge influence, but it was about keeping the players moving, getting them working. So when I when we went full-time at Wickham, we went to Handy Cross and spoke to them. We would take the players there, the injured players, for a swimming session twice a week. We went to one of the cycle shops in Wickham, and they sponsored us for some bikes, and the players would go off and go out 10 and 15-mile bike rides. So we kept them fit behind the scenes. So whilst we were waiting for their injuries to recover and they get their function back, we also kept them very, very fit. And I think that was something that was very, very important. But as I said, that was quite different to how the typical football physio worked when I first came into the game. And it was the influence of how the football rehabilitation changed once they set up the Lillishall set up. And Lillishall basically slowed down towards the end because the Manchester Uniteds and the Liverpools all worked out that this was what should happen. And they built these big almighty training grounds with the same concept behind the scenes. And that was really where sports science and rehabilitation really just started in those early 90s. And the football people started to understand that that concept was very, very important. You couldn't just rest for 6 weeks and then get up and play football. And, you know, before I came to Wickham, I was helping do some work at Oxford United. And Les Phillips came back after 6 weeks at Lillishall and went out and played what would be the Division One or the Premiership now game, and he just ran for 80 minutes, and they thought they were going to have to take him off after 20 minutes because his legs would go. They just couldn't believe how fit he was, having been having treatment at Lillishall. So I was very fortunate. I grasped that concept very quickly, and I made it very much part of the routine, and we had ways of doing different things with the players to try and make it enjoyable, trying to keep the team spirit together, working them as a group, and making it fun as well.
I guess overall you must have had a real sense of pride in the role that you played over all those years and the impact that you had.
Oh, I feel very, very fortunate. I think at the end of the day, you have to work very, very hard. Whatever you want to do to be successful, you have to work incredibly hard. And I worked ferociously hard. But it was something that I never really thought too much about because I enjoyed it so much. I just thoroughly enjoyed doing my job for Wickham Wanderers and working in football. And the people I've met have been incredible. And I've got lots of lovely, lovely friends who are lifelong friends. You know, we still catch up. Hutchie, Gina, the club doctor, Terry Evans and myself, we catch up. We met up a few weeks ago and for some dinner. And Keith Ryan happened to be around, so he came and joined us and his lovely wife. And so we just, you know, and you can just catch up and we just bump into each other and then we just carry on. It feels like we hadn't left the football club because until we look how old we've all become, but that's part of life. And, you know, so we've got lots of friends and we worked tremendously hard as a team. And I think that was a really important component of doing well.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to share your memories again. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much, Colin.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Get ready for Wickham's big weekend. Saturday the 24th and Sunday the 25th of May. Join us for an action-packed weekend with two major events in High Wycombe Town Centre. Brought to you by HW Bidco and MyWycombe.com. Kick-starting the excitement on Saturday, May the 24th. A town celebration will be taking place on the High Street with the historic Mayor weighing in ceremony at 11:40 a.m. Gather with us from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. to welcome the new Mayor and honour High Wycombe's heritage with free live entertainment and family arts and crafts alongside the town's traditional Saturday markets. On Sunday, May the 25th, Frog Fest is back. Kicking off from noon till 8 p.m, there'll be music and jollity all day, with a main stage on both the High Street and Frogmore, featuring 16 different bands, plus street food, kids rides and street performances, as well as craft, gift and charity stalls adorning the town centre streets. It's a weekend lineup too good to miss. Keep an eye on our My Wycombe social media channels or visit mywycombe.com for updates.
It's the sound of your mates alive. It's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
The Coffee Lounge. Possibly the best show between 10 and 12 on a Saturday morning on Wycombe Sound.
Well, possibly.
Just give me a hot cup of coffee and a good book in my hand. Let me stay right here.
The Coffee Lounge.
Back on Saturday.
The Wycombe Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7.
106.6 FM. Wycombe Sound.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderers Show. Still to come, we'll catch up with head coach Mike Dodds. He's been speaking to Phil ahead of a Saturday lunchtime's trip to Leighton Orient. A big game with Wrexham playing in the late kickoff in League One on that day as well. So it could be setting down a real marker, as we mentioned a little earlier on. But first, let's reflect on Wycombe Wanderers' women's season. They finished second in their division. It's been a pleasure to speak to their players over the course of this season. And indeed, manager Carl Simon as well, who made many changes and brought in some new players at the start of the season to make it a bit more kind of attacking and great to watch going forward. And to hear his thoughts on the campaign altogether.
Got to say, I'm overall pleased with the season. Didn't reach the objective that we always strive for, which is promotion. But we finished second, so we're showing a marked improvement season on season. Finishing fifth last season, bottom three the season before that. So I think we're moving in the right direction, and we wanted more attacking output this season. 99 goals is proof of that. But defensively, I think, you know, it's proven that we could be a little bit better. I'm sure that would have helped us. But yeah, we were just pipped by a really good Ascot team that went the season unbeaten. And you can't get much better than that. They only got one draw, and that was against us. They won the rest of their game. So fair play to Ascot, but we go again next season.
Does it feel such a sense of achievement, though, when you see how far the team's come and what you've built and who you've brought in and what you've put in place?
Yeah, massively. I think, you know, we've come on leaps and bounds since I joined the club, and I think a lot of work's been done, and we've recruited some really good players as well. I've brought some really good coaches to work alongside me. So I think, you know, everything's heading in the right direction, and, you know, we just want to just take that final step next season and do a little bit better.
Really nice that you can get the team playing how you'd like them to as well.
Yeah. Obviously, like, a lot of work stuff on the training pitch. I mean, we started in July last season, just finishing now. It's our last week of training, so There's a lot of work goes into it. The squad's gelled now, and we said that in the first 10 games or so when we had a few disappointing results, especially in the cup. The team hadn't gelled, and it's gelled now, and it's things are really good. You know, we're scoring lots of goals. But as I said, you know, by the time we got ourselves together and got the new players settled in, Ascot were well into their stride and they were ready from the first day of the season, and that's our objective next season. The work starts now to be ready from the kickoff.
And obviously not just the type of player, but the type of person as well. And they, you know, there seems such togetherness and real kind of drive and focus as well.
Yeah, we've got some really good characters, really experienced characters. Players like Daniel Puddyfoot and you know, people like Kayla and Jordan, they came late and they've really helped with the group, with their personalities, you know, all leaders in their own right. So the group's really nice at the moment. Everybody gets on, which always helps. But we've all got the same objective and the same drive, and they want to work and they want to help the club achieve its objective, and that's the most important thing.
And something that's really come across from speaking to the players, you know, whether they're new to the club or new to the team, perhaps they come up from, you know, the junior sides, that, you know, they don't feel new for very long and that they're so easily accepted.
Yeah, it's the environment's something that we work a lot on. You know, we treat people how they want to be treated, I suppose. That's how I was brought up, and that's what I expect from my players and my group, and that's how we treat people as they come in. You know, they're treated as a part of the group straight away. You know, if you're a chair girl, you're a chair girl, and that's the end of it. So I think making people feel comfortable, I think, shouldn't be something that's seen as out of the ordinary. I think that's a normal human thing to do, and that's what we try and do.
I think really nice as well, something else, that there's been a few cases where, you know, a player considers themselves in a particular position, but you've perhaps kind of put them somewhere else and thought, you know, try this, and it really pays off.
Well, it's trying to get the best out of someone's abilities. I think sometimes players can be pigeonholed, or if they're not excelling in a certain position, people say, well, they're no good, and that's the end of it. But, you know, everyone's got positives and weaknesses, you know, and there's always, you know, look at someone's strengths and what can they do and how can they fit into the system that we're playing. As far as I'm concerned, every player has a value, and they can do a job somewhere. So as part of the job as a manager is trying to fit those pieces into the right places for this particular team at this particular time that suits their strengths, where they can be of benefit to the team.
So overall, would you say there's quite a sort of mixed feeling, because obviously you came so close to Ascot, but as you say, you know, they haven't lost a game, but on the other hand, you know, there are obviously so many teams below you in the table as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say we got close to Ascot, because as I said, they just didn't drop any points, so we never really got within real striking distance. I think the closest we got within striking distance was after Christmas on the restart, and I think that was a real big opportunity to, if we had struck a blow in that game, I think we might have, you know, obviously we could have taken the 3 points off them and then maybe put a wobble or a dent into their season, which we didn't do. And I think them winning that game emboldened them even further, and they just went on stronger from strength to strength after that. So what we wanted, they got. and it's just unfortunate, but we'll be ready next time.
And what would you say have been some of the main pluses of this season?
The main plus of this season, I just think the development of the group and the style of football that we want to play. It's a style that we've implemented, the game model, from the very first day that I came in. But obviously, you know, you're bringing better players, they can implement it even better than before. So I think it's just been pleasing to watch. It's been in my most enjoyable season, I must say, at Wycombe Wanderers, having to go through a lot of work and gone through a lot of tough times, which is part of the process. But you know, it's rosier times at the moment, and we're enjoying it. I can say that we really are enjoying the football. We're enjoying the output of the team, and just working with these brilliant players is a joy, I have to say.
And it's a real hunger to sort of go again next season as well. From you know, I guess you'll be keen to keep as many of the players as you can to kind of go one better next time.
Absolutely, the key now is keeping this group together, and that's the difficulty in women's football, and that's why sometimes it's a bit unfair that only one team goes up, because with one team going up, then the team below really has. I mean, you know, historically the team who finished second usually get promoted, but the team that finishes below that or even third or fourth, and they've had decent seasons themselves, keeping your squad together is really, really difficult, because obviously players want to go up as well. So the big challenge for us is keeping our players, which I'm happy to say that we've done. And we're looking to obviously recruit again and improve the squad even further. And, you know, it was relentless. Like I said, we won't stop until we get Wycombe Wanderers into the National League, which is where we think we belong, and then push on from there.
I imagine as well you'll get many inquiries from players who want to be part of it as well.
Yeah, and the calibre of the inquiries is getting better and better each year. It has done year on year. As players look and see, well, hold on, you're quite close now. I can come and add something. And players are realising that, you know, they can come from a higher tier, but they can come down to tier five. And actually, you know what? You know, my talent's more valuable here than it is, you know, playing at a bottom table tier three or tier four club. When actually I can have some real success and enjoy my football, which is what players want at the end of the day. So it's finding the players at the right time in their careers where their ambition matches ours, if that makes sense. And we're finding to strike that balance with some really good players at this moment in time that are actually coming down and really enjoying the training, really enjoying the facilities and the environment, and actually enjoying the football and playing, being a part of this team. And, you know, I can say that we've got players who could play at a much higher level than they're playing now, but they're really enjoying their football, so that's pleasing.
And do you really notice as well, perhaps on the touchline or on the training ground as well, the development and the progress that the team's making?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, it's a lot easier now. You know, our systems are all in place and the things that we want to do and the principles of play in and out of possession are quite ingrained. And it forms our training and what we want to do. So the players understand that now. So, it's a lot better and it's enjoyable to see.
And really rewarding for you as well. I know, you know, when we've spoken before, but if you're giving a player a chance or you're watching a player's development, you know, and or perhaps, as we say, playing in a position that they weren't previously used to, that must be great. Part of your job as well.
It's the most pleasing part of the job, you know, especially young players when you give them a chance. And obviously we've got Sophie Harvey, for example, who finished the season, you know, as first choice right back. And we signed Harvey when she was 14, 15 from Oxford United. And you can see the talent straight away. And she, you know, she was just too young to even train or play with the first team group, but we could see from afar that she had real quality. And as soon as she turned 16, pre-season, I gave her her debut and she came into the first team group. Her talent warranted it, but then she had to, you know, as we were trying to establish a very new team, a brand new team, in the first opening weeks of the season, opening month or two, we had to step her back a bit. And she went down to the under-18s and to the dev squad. And in a lot of ways, that was just to protect her, because we weren't in a position at that moment in time to give her safe passage, so I say, into women's football. And I think you have to give young players that. I don't think you can put young players into relegation scraps, or put them into situations where they're having to, you know, fight for in games and carry the club. And it's not right at that age. But once the team started to really play well, and we started to get some really good results, you know, an opportunity opened up for her. And fair play to her, she kept her powder dry, and you know, she had a really good attitude at training, and really good attitude in the devs and the under-18s. And she came back in, and she hasn't looked back since. And so that's probably my most pleasing as a full coach is when you see a young player fulfilling their potential. There's no better feeling in football.
And do you still feel quite excited about what's to come as well?
Yeah, really. Excited for next season. Excited for what this team can do. You know, we only really settled properly and clicked, I think, around February. So it's all new. It's all new. And really looking forward to next season, I must say.
Well, it's a real pleasure to follow the team this season. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Cheers.
Always a pleasure to speak to Wycombe Wanderers Women Head Coach Carl Simon. Really appreciate his time and, of course, all the players that we've spoken to on this series. Still more Chair Girls coverage to come, though, throughout the remaining programmes of this series. But now, let's look ahead to Saturday lunchtime's trip to Leyton Orient. And Head Coach Mike Dodds has been speaking to Phil.
Mike, massive game. I guess I know it's a league game, but these now feel like the energy of cup games. Is that how you feel too?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've got an opportunity to correct what obviously happened on Monday, and that's obviously the message that has been relayed to the group all week. It'll get relayed again tomorrow. But it's going to be a difficult game. We're under no illusion around that. You know, Leyton Orient have had an incredible season. They're in fine form. But we'll go there with every bit of confidence, knowing that we get an opportunity to correct Monday and continue what was positive form before the last game.
How's the reaction been this week after that defeat on Monday?
As you would expect, a lot of wounded individuals, but they're really keen to obviously correct what was a really, really disappointing afternoon. And I almost want to try and park it, but I also want to try and use it as fuel for us to make sure that we finish the next two games with real positivity and take maximum points.
There's similarities between the Bolton game and this Leyton Orient game, because Bolton had stuff on the line. Obviously, the intensity is ratcheting up now as we get nearer the finish line. But it's away from home against a team that also needs to deliver. Big similarities in the fixtures.
And the Huddersfield game. You know, speaking to the Huddersfield staff before that game, they felt that that was a must-win game, and we were immaculate in our performance in those two games. So we'll take some confidence from that, but. Look, they'll have different types of threats. They're a good team, as I said. They've had a really, really good season. The coach has done extremely well with them. So we're under no illusions. It'll be a tough game, but as I always do when I sit here, you know, teams will look at us and know that we have plenty of threats, and we have some really, really good players for this level. So you know, they'll be very, very wary of the threats that we will pose them as well.
It's going to be a cauldron-like atmosphere. The home fans will be up for it as well. Of course they will. But the away end is sold out as well. And the Wickham fans have really played their part on the road this season. And also stuck with the team on Monday too.
Yeah, I was, you know, I'll be forever grateful for Monday. You know, I went to the kind of shed end and apologised, because I felt that's the very least that I could have done what was a really poor afternoon. One that no one internally seen coming, and I don't think anyone externally would have seen that coming. But I think when you have those days, and they can happen, we're hoping it's obviously a freak afternoon. You have to take your medicine. You've got to take it on the chin, and I think it was really important for me to kind of apologise and hold my hands up and recognise the fact that while I'm the head coach of this football club, you know, we have to rectify that, and that won't happen again. So yeah, they stuck with us, and you know, I'll be forever grateful for that. And I have no doubt that there'll be a fine voice come the weekend, because they know that although Leyton Orient need to win, we need to win, and it will be an incredible game of football, hopefully. And hopefully, you know, the positives will be on our side rather than the opposition.
Let's get the thoughts of head coach Mike Dodds speaking to Phil. You can hear more of that interview on Wanderers TV. Other great build-up as well, including pre-match drills. Do listen out for Ringing the Blues as well. That'll be on Tuesday night from 7 here on Wickham Sound. If you haven't downloaded the podcast by then, Phil will be bringing his full match commentary from Brisbane Road. Kick-off is at 12:30 on Saturday. You'll hear the whole match live on 106.6 FM and regular updates online as well. The Wickham Wanderers show returns next Thursday from 7, of course. We'll be building up to the final home game of the regular season with the visit of Stockport County. As chatted to with Phil a little earlier on, automatic promotion very much alive. We'll be backing the Chair Boys on Saturday lunchtime, and of course then cheering on Charlton Saturday tea time, and hoping for a great result there. When next we speak, hopefully we'll be in the automatic promotion places.